Remember, I promised you no video for a few weeks. So I don't know that we will ever get rid of Twitter, but you know what we are going to do? Today, we're going to finish up this particular sermon series on Jesus tweets. So I just want you to know, and I indicated this in the email I sent out earlier, I have just scratched the surface of all the profound things that Jesus had to say. As a matter of fact, we could have spent the entire year in just this topic. Remember the book I took this from, The Hard Sayings of Jesus? I told you, 69 different chapters in just that book. Each chapter was a different saying. And so while hopefully what's happened over these few weeks that we've done this is like you're now curious. What else did Jesus say? And you know what? The good news is Bibles are everywhere. You can pick them up. Some of them even marked in red that had the parts of Jesus. You can go and you can read it for yourself. You can ponder exactly what Jesus said. But we are going to end this particular sermon series with a tweet that most of us have heard, but we simply don't get. But before I do that, commercial time. Next week, we are going to start a new sermon series called Something's Missing. And here's your warning. Things are going to change. What's going to change? Well, okay, this is me, so I'm not going to tell you what's going to change, but I am promising you as this sermon series progresses, things are going to change right before your eyes. The question is are you going to allow those things that change before your eyes to get inside of you and maybe fill that hole that each of us have in our life as we go looking for that thing that seems to be missing from our faith? But before we do that, how about we finish the one that we're working on, and we'll talk about this particular little tweet from Jesus. It's found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. Wow. That's an interesting little statement. Did you know Jesus said that? This is right at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to change up the order of our outline a little bit because usually I jump after I give you the tweet and I go and tell you the backstory behind it. I'm not going to do that this week. The first thing I want to do is I want to tell you why this little tweet made this series for us. And the reason is because I told you the one where it's about being smacked in the face and turning the other cheek. That's the hardest one for me to implement because, you know, just being slugged and not wanting to react is very difficult. This is the hardest one for me to grapple with my own spiritual life. This particular little saying, thinking, why? Well, it really has nothing to do with what Jesus said. Unfortunately, my struggles with this come from the fact of how I was taught to interpret this particular little saying from Jesus. You see, unfortunately, I was taught wrong. But then what has happened through the years, and I've noticed it in other churches and other places I've been, the wrong teaching has got propagated, and on and on and on it's going, and I can't tell you how many well-meaning, good-intentioned followers of Jesus I have heard interpret this particular passage wrong. And just so you know, the wrong is huge. Because when you don't get this particular scripture right, it is so anti-Jesus. When I listen to people talk about this particular scripture, it outright makes Christians look like self-righteous, judgmental, and oftentimes hateful people. All because we got this wrong. Now, you're probably thinking, wow, that is a big thing we want to talk about. So let's dive into this. Let's talk about the backstory. And the backstory begins with the images. So you got to get the images straight if you're going to understand this particular little saying that Jesus had, and you got to realize that pigs in the Jewish culture were one of the most detestable creatures. They were dirty and they were smelly. And due to the handling of meat, they were thought to be full of all sorts of diseases. They made the Jewish do not eat list, which I feel very much sympathy for them because they've never had bacon or Christmas ham or all of those things that I think are just delicious. But if you wanted to majorly insult a Jew, call him a pig. As a matter of fact, if you notice when Jesus was telling that story of the prodigal son, and he was trying to talk about how far the prodigal son had fallen, where did he have him working? Feeding pigs. You get it, right? In Jewish culture, that would have been the lowest of the lowest jobs that you could ever give somebody that was Jewish. Outside, feeding pigs. Now, The pig isn't the only animal that gets mentioned here. We also get mentioned dogs. Do you know how hard it is to find a picture of a dog these days where the dog is not favorably looked upon? You just can't do it. Everybody loves dogs. They think they're cute and they're adorable. Well, yes, to us. Now, nobody get mad at me. Okay, this is not some bias toward dogs I have. I'm just going to tell you exactly like it is. The verse does not mean that Jesus does not like dogs. However, Jewish tradition, while it did not prohibit you from having a dog as a pet, it did strongly recommend that you not allow them into your home. So if you had a dog that was a pet and you were a Jew, usually it was a work dog and it was outside. And quite frankly, as you read through the scripture, the dogs are not portrayed very well. Again, nobody get mad at me. I'm just telling you what it says. Oftentimes they are proclaimed as violent and unclean creatures. And for the most part, it's just negative. The Book of Kings references dogs as feeding on corpses. And the Book of Songs talk about dogs as beasts that maul human beings. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11 says, a dog returns to its vomit, its fool repeat their folly. Now, they're not talking about what we call a pet, what we call Fido. These were probably wild packs of dogs that roamed that particular area. And so these things would ravage the villages and what have you. And so dogs were negatively frowned upon. So you get the picture that Jesus is bringing in some very stark images of things that the Jews would have struggles with. And then he goes and he gives them a couple of little verbs here. First he says, don't give, which means to freely transfer the possession of something to someone or to hand it over. He says, don't cast. Don't throw it out forcefully in a specific direction. And both of those verbs have something in common because in the end, whether you give it or you cast it, you've lost control of it. So you get what he's building here. He's got two very negative images. And he's saying, don't give control to them. Don't lose control to them. But then he talks about what he doesn't want you to give away. And the first thing is, well, it's a pearl. We're in a day when Jesus makes this quote, there is no such thing as a cultured or a synthetic pearl. You can't go to Walmart and buy the little plastic ones. As a matter of fact, pearls were considered one of the most rare gems that you could come across in biblical times. Jesus even used the idea in Matthew chapter 13, verse 45, to say that it's like he used the idea of a pearl in his parable there about the merchant. It's what represented the kingdom of heaven. Pearls were considered very, very, very priceless. He also tells us about sacred items. And, well, for the Jews, man, they had all kinds of sacred items. They had many, many, many. They had bowls. They had cups. They even had garments. Even the animals that were brought for sacrifice, once they were handed over to the priest, they were considered sacred. So you got to get the image in your head of the Jewish people sitting there at the Sermon on the Mount, listening to this sermon, and Jesus gets to this point, and he says, don't give the pigs, don't give the dogs. You can also almost get the picture that they're having in their head of a dog in the temple drinking from one of those gold bowls, or maybe a dog ripping the meat right off of the altar and eating it. Maybe you get the picture of the dog wallowing around in those priestly garments. And then when he's all done laying out his image, he gives us the warnings. If you do, then they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. And again, Jesus is putting out some pretty stark images here. These are other images that we understand because pigs would have no idea what to do with a pearl. You know what they would try to do with a pearl, right? They would eat it. Of course, the nature of how a natural pearl is created, it is 100% indigestible, so it would just come through the system and back out where it goes, and they would just, again, walk all over it and put it in the mud. They would not see the value in the pearl. What about the dog? Well, think about it for a second. This turn and tear. Have you ever given the dog a bone or a piece of meat and then tried to take it away from them? Now, if you're their owner and they really love you, maybe they'll let you get away with it because they'll think you're playing a game. But if you give a dog that you don't know a bone or something, or a piece of meat or a steak or something like that, even a toy, and then you decide to take it away from them, I am going to guarantee you something. It's not going to be a great result because they are not going to willingly give it up. And if you jerk it out of their hand, they are going to attack. Because you know what? Dogs are territorial by nature. It's how they were built. And so Jesus is putting all of these things together, and he gives us all of these things that are rolling around in our head now. We're like, what on earth is Jesus talking here? And now we get to the wrong application. Because you know what? We've taken this scripture and we pulled it out and we focused on it and we've come up with some things that just aren't anything to do with what Jesus said. So the first thing I have to do is I have to correct something. This is not a parable as some try to make it. I've heard lots of people try to throw this into the classification of the parable. It is not. This is an object lesson, and yes, there is a difference. Okay, a parable is a story that was given to give you new insight and a new revelation into something Jesus was telling you about the kingdom or about Christian faith. An object lesson was part of a sermon or a lesson already being taught, and he was using this to reinforce something that he had already taught. So this is an object lesson that's touched in the middle of a great big sermon. So we've got to get that particular thing straight. This isn't a parable. So since it's not a parable, we got to look at the pieces and parts of it. Instead of trying to give them some kind of special meaning, let's put them right where they are with us of how we usually taught it. The pearl, or that which is sacred, how we have taught this all through the years and how we've applied it, that must be the church, right? I mean, because that's the sacred thing. That's the priceless thing. That's the thing that we're trying to do. And so, you know what? The pigs and the dogs, well, those are people that are not Christians or lost. We look at the people that are outside the church and we put the label on them. That must be who Jesus is talking about, saying, well, they're the pigs and the dogs. And well, then we get to our application. Here it is. Keep people that are not living the right kind of life out of the church, lest they trample the church and take advantage of the church by biting the hand of the ministry that feeds you. You see, we built this barrier between the church and people that are outside the church. We've labeled them as something that they're not, and we began to look at them in such a way that really it makes absolutely no sense. You see, when we talk about this particular verse all by itself, you know what we start talking about? Let's protect the church. By the way, I have a word for that. Wrong, 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 wrong. How many wrong? Wrong, 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 wrong. Okay? The verse is not talking about protecting the church. Okay? That is not what we're trying to do. But we put this application that we're supposed to build some kind of moat, which God tried to do for us last night all by himself, some kind of moat or some kind of thing around the church so that we can protect it and we can keep sin out of the church. And I want you to see what this has done to how we go about doing church. This application has created the misguided doctrine of church discipline. Oh my gosh, every time I hear that word, it literally makes me want to gag. I hear that word, church discipline, because usually when we talk about church discipline, we're not talking about accountability, about trying to help our brother and sister and grow by helping our brother and sister move past the sin. What are we talking about? Well, you committed a sin. We need to discipline you. So we're going to put you in time out. And we're going to put you out of the church, or we're going to put some kind of thing up. It's going to be put out there, and that's how we try to apply this verse. This application has called us to build buildings to keep us safe and protected, but we're no longer very open and inviting. I mean, we built buildings that, you know what, they're air-conditioned, and they're comfy, and they have locks, and we even have security systems on some buildings. And when we come inside, we want to be inside our building. We want to feel safe and comfortable. And so, you know what? We begin to lock doors. And we begin to close in and put those walls up because you know what? It's my job to protect this church, right? It's my job to go out and put something, some barrier there to keep the bad stuff out of the church. You know what? This application has created a division because unfortunately it isn't just about the Christians and the lost anymore. When we talk about pigs and dogs, they become anybody we don't agree with. Anybody I don't agree with, anybody that doesn't have the same belief that I have, anybody that has something that's a little bit different, anybody that doesn't dot the I and cross the T the same way that I dot the I and cross the T, then you know what? I've got to protect the church and we've got to keep them out. Do you see what happens when you apply it this way? I mean, this is crazy. I mean, this application causes us to see threats and not opportunities. I go out in the world and I see people living in sin. I see people struggling with sin. I see people struggling with their brokenness, some of the same brokenness that I came from and that I may still have. And I look at them and I'm like, don't want to get too close. Guilt by association. Don't want to be there. Don't want to think about that. Oh my gosh, I just keep looking forward and maybe they'll go away. And so we get this mentality that, you know what, not only do I have to protect the church, you know what else I got to protect? I got to protect me. I can't lift these people in my life. I can't lift these people close to me, because if I get too close to them, then you know what? They may impact me. That says a lot about your spiritual life. When you have to go to that kind of a mode to protect a church. You want to know the truth? The way we've looked at this verse, the way we pulled it and twisted it, this application has ripped at the very heart of the church. Because you know what? I don't ever remember Jesus turning anybody away. He absolutely had an open invitation, no matter what you were dealing with, no matter what you were struggling with, no matter what your past had in it, Jesus had a moment for you. Matter of fact, that's one of the reasons that the Pharisees hated him so. Because you know what? He has such compassion. So, if that's the wrong application, what's the right one look like? I'm glad you want to know, because we're going to set the record straight this morning. Now, if you're going to understand the passage, you have to put it back where we got it from. You can't just take your pearl and your sacred item and put it as a topic. You got to put it right back where you got it from. And here's the funny thing. When we began to look at this, the verses 1 through 5 of this particular passage, guess what it talks about? Don't judge. It's almost like Jesus knew that 2,000 years ago that we were going to be oblivious to what he was going to say and try to make it say something that didn't say. So he starts out the great big object lesson with, hey, God, I don't want you to be judged. I don't want you to be the judges. Don't you find that ironic? I mean, these are verses that we're very familiar with, because this is where we get the plank and the speck, and it tells us not to look for the speck in somebody else's eye when we got the big old log hanging out of our own eye, and yet we're trying to examine everybody's life looking for the minute details of what's wrong with your life, and you know what? You're not paying attention to your own life. Jesus says, you know what? This is not about being judges. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that if you apply the verse this way, he had a good word for you. Called you a hypocrite. If you're just looking to judge people for what's going wrong in their life, Jesus said, you know what? Your problem is you're hypocritical, because you're so busy trying to purge sin from their life, you've allowed your own life to be overrun by it. Because you do understand that the lack of compassion is actually just as much a sin as anything else. When we use our tongues to rip apart a person, that is just as much a sin as anything else. See, we want to say, well, they're doing bad things. Yeah, guess what? They're in the right place, because I'm in that club too. I struggle with some of those same things. So then as we move on from the don't be a judge, and we look at the verses right after this little section here, it is those verses that we are very familiar with, where it tells us to ask, seek, and knock. As a matter of fact, Matthew chapter 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks on the door will be opened. It's amazing. We've kind of turned this into three sermons. We have the one sermon that we want to preach that, well, don't be a judge. Then we have the second sermon, well, but protect the church. And then we get to this particular one, and we always talk about it being about prayer. You do get it, right? This isn't three sermons. This was one lesson. And so whatever Jesus was driving at when he said don't judge, and whatever Jesus was driving at when he said, hey, ask, seek, and knock, that is what he's talking about right in the middle with this little idea of don't give it to pigs, don't give it to dogs, that which is a pearl, that which is sacred, lest they will trample and tear it. And so what's he telling us to look for? Well, maybe we should look at these four things at the end. See, these were his conclusions. These are the things at the point. He gave us four lessons. By the way, I want you to notice something. Here you go. Big warning. There are four of these. By the way, these are four foundational things for our faith. You might see these again in the coming weeks, but I do want you to pay attention that as he's going, he comes out of this ask, seek, and knock, and he says, hey, by the way, we're going to talk about a narrow gate and a true and false prophet and true and false disciples and wise and foolish home builders. And what is Jesus driving at? He is driving at this idea of discernment. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. See, Jesus is driving at an idea that when it comes to being out in the world, when it comes to being a witness, you have to have discernment. That is the precaution and the absence of judgment. Notice that. Discernment is the absence of judgment. In the absence of judgment, with the view of obtaining spiritual guidance and understanding, he's saying, hey guys, as you're out there and you're living, don't be the judge, but do ask God for discernment. See, I don't want you to give away that which is sacred, and we're going to talk about what that is in just a minute. I don't want you to give it away cheap. Understand, I need you to pray and ask, because these things are so important to your life. They're gonna be temptations there just to give it away cheap. And so he's telling us, quite honestly, live smart. By the way, I am just laying all kind of little hooks here that we're going to come back and pick up over the next three sermon series. He wants us to live smart. And when he says live smart by not selling cheap that which is valuable. So what's valuable? All we have to do is look at the conclusion to the sermon. Did you see it? I gave it to you. We'll be back in a little while to explore it even further, but let me just kind of open the idea up. Don't give away the path you choose through your life. It's your choice. That narrow and wide gate is all about your choice. You choose how you want to walk. You choose the direction that you're going to go. It's all about you. And by the way, don't sell it cheap. Spend some time looking, asking, praying, looking for discernment and wisdom. God, which path would you have me take? That narrow one that sometimes is going to be more difficult, that looks more like a mountain trail, or the big wide highway that, you know what, it's easy to find. But man, it's got such a destructive ending. Don't sell that decision cheap. Then don't sell that decision cheap. Don't sell the people we choose to teach your life. Who are you listening to? And that's one of the disadvantages of Twitter. By the way, I would like to make sure you understand, I have never tweeted in my entire life. I'm not a bird. I don't tweet. But I do find it interesting to do the voyeuristic thing and go out and read other people's tweets, just because sometimes they're amusing and entertaining. But who are you listening to? Who have you put in your place to say, you know what, that person's got something that I want to know. And so we sell this so cheap, especially in our information technology-driven world, and the idea that we listen to everybody and we've thrown the gates open, and you know what, everybody's opinion has the same value. Well, I guess that's true, because it's their opinion. It's all worthless. The question is, are you putting people in your life that you're listening to that are going to teach you about God's Word and teach you how to stay faithful to God's Word and teach you how to grow in God's Word? Or are you selling it cheap and you're just opening your mind to everything that's out there? Mind's a terrible thing to waste. I remember that old commercial that they had when I was growing up to teach you to stay in school. It is a terrible thing to waste. Be careful how open-minded you are, because if you're too open-minded, you can let all the trash in there with it. And so Jesus is telling us here right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, as he's getting ready to put these people back out into the world, say, look, don't sell it cheap. And by the way, don't sell cheap the way we choose to follow Jesus in our life. He goes on and he tells this little story about the true and false disciples and how they're going to sit there and say, Lord, Lord, and at the end of the day, they're not going to actually amount to anything, and how it isn't about what you can say, it's about who you do know. And he says, depart from me. He tells this whole big story. And I think sometimes we just sell this cheap. We think, you know what? I've got tomorrow. I've got another lifetime. I mean, I'm young. I've got things to do. I've got places to go. I've got people to see. And so we sell our life cheap. And then we get to the end of our life and we wonder what happened. And we look back across the brokenness and the wake of destruction that came with our life. And we just sold it cheap. We did. We made the choices to live my life the way I wanted to live them and not the way that God wanted me to live it. And then we come back and we want God to say, well, what happened? Well, Jesus is saying, you know what? We're at the beginning of this Jesus ministry when we come to Sermon on the Mount. Don't sell it cheap, folks. Ask God to give you discernment about how you're going to live your life each and every day. And the last one that he tells them is don't sell it cheap. The foundation we choose to build our life on. Where are you building? Now, I'm not talking about your house. I'm not talking about your home. I'm not talking about your RV. I'm not talking about your tent when you go camping. It's kind of funny, whenever we start talking about buildings and structures, we all have things that we think about when it comes to our homes. How about your life? Where are you building it? You know, many of us build it out in the world, and we build it on our career. Some of us try to build our lives on relationships and friends. Some of us even come to the point that we try to build our life on ourselves. And then, like the storm that came through here last night and just dumped a whole bunch of wind, a whole bunch of water, and all, we look back at our life and it's a mess. It's a wreck. And you know, the problem is that we started off at the wrong point. So Jesus comes back here and he says, these choices that you're making, don't sound cheap, folks. Don't take the life that God has given you and just throw it out to the world and say, you know what? Have at it. Tear away. Trample it. You know what? Do whatever you want with it. God said, no. Give that life to me. Ask God for discernment and the choices that you're going to make in your life every single day. And then, follow. Click the button. Click the idea that, you know what? I understand that, you know, God has a path for my life, and God has people for my life, and God has a foundation for my life, and I must make a choice to follow. It's the only part about Twitter that I actually do get. Following. Now, not following like they follow, we already talked about that, but you do understand, you cannot follow somebody on Twitter unless you choose to click the button. You know Jesus works that way too? You cannot follow Christ unless you say, sign me up. You cannot follow Christ unless you say, here, I'm giving you permission to get into my life. You cannot follow Christ by just simply signing on and looking at what he's saying. If you're going to follow him, you've got to take what he's saying, place it into your life, and you have to apply it each and every day. That's the discernment card. That's not allowing your life to be sold cheap. So this morning, I'd like to ask you, have you clicked the button? Are you a follower? By the way, we're going to really dive into this topic over the next 8 weeks when we're looking for that something missing. Are you yourself, not the person sitting next to you, not your grandma, not your dad, not your cousin, not your best friend, when it comes to this question, you can only answer it for one person. Are you a follower? Are you doing the things that you need to do to make wise decisions in your life to bring become closer to God? Maybe you're here today and you know what? This Jesus person is just foreign to you. Man, I'm talking out the side of the back of my head here. You have no idea who I'm talking about. You know what? I have good news for you. I know the guy. We've met a few times. Not physically, okay, but we've met. I know who he is. And if you're interested in knowing who he is and you're interested in establishing that relationship with him, today's your day, folks. As we end our service, you can stop and person at the door and say, hey, look, I need to talk to Barry about Jesus. Okay, cool. I'll sit around here. The floors downstairs can wait. I'll sit around here all day long and talk about Jesus. It doesn't matter. Maybe you're here today and you know what? Maybe at one point you clicked that follow button. But let's face it, it's been a few years. It's been a long time. Church has gotten kind of church. And maybe your following is you stop making those wise decisions. You started selling your life cheap. Let me encourage you to use this day to give it back to God. Give that life back to Jesus and become a follower. Again, if you need to pray or talk, I'll be around here all afternoon. You can mop floor with me if you'd like. Okay, and we can talk about Jesus. Whatever you'd like to do. We're going to do a closing of our service. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. If you're here today and you need to make a decision for Jesus, if you need to understand what it means to be a follower, I encourage you. Find myself. Find one of the elders. Find Azariah. We'll be around. But you know what? Don't go away without making sure you understand what it means to follow Christ. Would you please stand? We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing.